Chapter 1. We Know. On January 19th, 2021, hours before President Biden was inaugurated President of the United States the next day, President Russell M. Nelson, RMN, posted on his Twitter and other social media accounts that he and other church leaders received their first vaccination shot for COVID-19. He referred to the shot as a literal godsend. The first presidency instructed church members in an official statement to help quell the pandemic by safeguarding themselves and others through immunization. RMN also said that getting the vaccine was a part of their, quote, personal efforts to be good global citizens in helping to eliminate COVID-19 from the world, end quote. At this point in time, those that were aware of the falsehood surrounding COVID-19 could already see the foolishness of rushing to get this vaccine. However, as the months wore on, harmful side effects began to mount from the uptake of the vaccine, as study after study showed that masks were either ineffective or increased individual vulnerability to disease. This writer was hopeful that the church's policy would soon ease in its pursuit to apply COVID-19 measures that were making the disease worse. However, such hopes were crushed a few months later as the first presidency doubled down on its position. On August 12, 2021, the first presidency, comprised of President Russell M. Nelson, First Counselor Dallin H. Oaks, and Second Counselor Henry B. Eyring, signed and issued a letter worldwide to convince all members of the church that they should take the COVID-19 jab, otherwise referenced as the vaccine. They stated, quote, "Dear brothers and sisters, we find ourselves fighting a war against the ravages of COVID-19 and its variants, an unrelenting pandemic. We want to do all we can to limit the spread of these viruses. We know that protection from the disease they cause can only be achieved by immunizing a very high percentage of the population. To limit exposure to these viruses, we urge the use of face masks in public meetings whenever social distancing is not possible. Provide personal protection from such severe infections, we urge individuals to be vaccinated. Available vaccines have proven to be both safe and effective. We can win this war if everyone will follow the wise and thoughtful recommendations of medical experts and government leaders. Please know of our sincere love and great concern for all of God's children. The First Presidency, Russell M. Nelson, Dallin H. Oaks, Henry B. Eyring." This statement was a complete lie, from the first sentence to the last. By issuing this letter, these prophets, in particular President Nelson, unequivocally, publicly, and unabashedly became a prophet teaching lies. He led many to err. The destruction left in that wake has already been significant, with more yet to come. Part of this destruction was the annihilation of trust and brotherly love among many members of the church. Seemingly overnight, the church became a model of Germany in the early 30s. Party members proudly demonstrated loyalty to their Führer with the unceasing praises and declarations of his sagacity, this time by wearing face masks instead of armbands, and members who would not join in the falsehoods fell suddenly suspect as non-party members and regarded by many as apostates. Family members were told they could not be members of the church if they did not accept the prophet's words as doctrine. Pulling apart the First Presidency's statement sentence by sentence reveals the falsehood of each statement. "Dear brothers and sisters, we find ourselves fighting a war against the ravages of COVID-19 and its variants and an unrelenting pandemic." This sentence is a lie. It was not an unrelenting pandemic. Real mortality was equal to the seasonal flu. An epidemiological assessment showed COVID mortality for ages 0 to 59 was only 0.035%. For 0 to 19, the percentage was only 0.0003%. Even at the highest ratio, measured for 60 to 69, it was only 0.501%. This is with 86% of the U.S. population under the age of 60. Even these percentages are inflated, as hospitals and governments attributed enormous quantities of deaths from other causes to COVID, thus making records inflate COVID death numbers to make it appear that COVID was an emergency. On top of that, most that died from COVID had an average of 2.6 comorbidities. In other words, with or without COVID, they were likely going to die at or near the same time. Deaths resulting only from COVID were few and hard to find. In Italy, where the number of cases caused great alarm for the rest of the world, over 97% of COVID deaths had comorbidities. COVID itself was very manageable unless exacerbated by injurious lung-rupturing respirator treatments or kidney-killing remdesivir. Next quote. We want to do all we can to limit the spread of these viruses. This is not true. Masking policies were shown to increase the spread of illness. If they wanted to do all they could to limit the spread, they would have encouraged vitamin D uptake and the protocols that were helping people, such as ivermectin, budesonide, and hydroxychloroquine. If they truly wanted to do all they could, why didn't they recommend what was working? Next sentence. We know that protection from the diseases they cause can only be achieved by immunizing a very high percentage of the population. This is perhaps the greatest lie of all, because of on how many levels it is a lie. First, there was no way anyone could know that this was the only way to get protection from the disease. But why not, one may ask? Because there was no testing to prove that protection could be acquired through the vaccine, and absolutely no scientific literature on what percentage of the population is required to be vaccinated for quote-unquote immunity. In addition, RMN's statement completely ignores natural immunity, which a person acquires when they fight off the disease and either recover or are infected and never experience symptoms. Furthermore, the statement completely ignored any therapeutic efforts that could be made to protect oneself from the disease, either that currently existed or that could exist in the future. Sadly, by this statement, they managed to exclude the power of God himself as a source of protection from the disease. Their message, trust in the arm of man and the pharmaceutical companies already sued and convicted for billions for lying about other drugs, and we will get through this. To claim that a vaccine was the one and only solution was the greatest false and arrogant sales point that a vaccine company could ever hope to make. The only way the first presidency could know such a statement to be true would have been through divine revelation. And this statement took advantage of their position as prophets, seers, and revelators to convince church members that it was true. Indeed, it was exactly because they were prophets that many believed the sales point for which there was no evidence. The fact that the prophet said he knew the vaccine was the only way was evidence to them that indeed God had talked to him, because this statement could only be true if God had done so. Yet this was teaching a lie from the vaccine companies and public health officials to convince people to take a minimally tested injection, and even when tested, hiding from the public the many health problems experienced in the trials. The pharmaceutical companies had to maintain the tenet that there was no other way to get protection from the disease in order to acquire emergency use authorization in the United States. The first presidency went to bat for them, convincing as many as they could that the very situation existed which would allow the distribution of products that would never have been lawful if therapeutic treatments of COVID were acknowledged. This statement implies divine revelation, implies acting as the Lord's mouthpiece, because they left no room for speculation. They knew when there was no other way to know other than God himself. Knowing that the Lord had not actually given them this knowledge, making such a statement as his mouthpiece was a form of taking the Lord's name in vain. Next sentence. To limit exposure to these viruses, we urge the use of face masks in public meetings whenever social distancing is not possible. To promote face masks as a protection from these viruses is a complete sham, another lie. Even Fauci stated they could not provide protection from respiratory viruses. The masks were a form of psychological manipulation to make people believe there was a pandemic emergency, to make obvious who was not compliant with the state's lies, like party armbands, and a method of perpetuating disease and making more people sick. The first presidency's unity with the pharmaceutical establishment to promote this lie is a key indicator of how aligned with political theater rather than health interests these leaders were. Next sentence. To provide personal protection from such severe infections, we urge individuals to be vaccinated. Quote. These injections were never tested against severe infections. Their testing protocols were only compared against mild symptoms. Once again, the First Presidency makes reference to knowledge that no other human on the planet had, that these could protect from severe infections. Certainly, they were not the only ones promoting this talking point. President Biden and his allied media also harped on the same point, but likewise without proof. The truth has proved otherwise, with the vaccinated more prone to hospitalization and illness. As mouthpieces of the Lord, this lie, made as an official announcement under the capacity of leaders of the church, was allowed to perpetuate as if with the strength of being spoken by the Lord himself. Once again, to promote a lie, under the guise and role of promulgators of divine knowledge, is to take the Lord's name in vain. Next sentence. Available vaccines have proven to be both safe and effective. Once again, a lie. A lie perpetuated by the government and vaccine makers. There was no way these could be proven safe and effective, as not enough time had passed from development to actually test them for safety and efficacy. This is why they had to be issued under Emergency Use Authorization, or EUA, because it was impossible to prove safety in such a short period of time. If they were really proven to be safe and effective, there would not have been any need for EUA. The results have proven how enormously ineffective and unsafe these vaccines were and are. Florida retracted its recommendation for youth to take the vaccine, as youth who take the vaccine are 80% more likely to suffer cardiac problems. The working population has seen more death in 2021 than during the Vietnam War. The stillbirth rate has increased over 40 sigma in some hospitals. That is 40 standard deviations from the mean since the vaccines were rolled out. These numbers didn't happen in 2020 when the pandemic was raging unbridled with no vaccines available. It occurred in 2021 when the vaccine came out and when so many got injected. Actors collapsing on stage, athletes dying during games and sporting events, people dying with blood clots, and embalmers finding 75% of dead bodies with blood clots instead of the 5-7% in the pre-COVID vaccine era. Hundreds of thousands died or even received permanent injury from the vaccine, having taken it because they were told it was safe. Some of these were church members, believing their prophet was speaking the word of the Lord. Many church members believed the shot was safe and effective, even though there was no proof to substantiate such a claim. Next sentence. We can win this war if everyone will follow the wise and thoughtful recommendations of medical experts and government leaders. Once again, acting like COVID waged war encouraged a state of fear and panic that allowed people to accept the theft of their rights and freedoms while irrationally injecting themselves and their children with a concoction, the contents, hazards, and consequences of which the doctors administering them were not fully aware. These recommendations were not recommendations, but tyrannical, mean, and unlawful mandates. They were the very opposite of thoughtful in the sense of politeness or consideration of another's welfare. In many parts of the world, including the United States, these mandates caused many to submit or be subjected with the loss of their jobs and exclusion from everyday activities in public locations. In addition to unthoughtful recommendations, these policies were unwise. Is it wise to blanket an entire population at the same time with an experimental product? Is it wise to require useless masks on everyone to ensure they can maximize their bacterial load throughout the day? These were not wise and thoughtful recommendations, and to paint them as so was simply another lie. By declaring a war against COVID, the first presidency actually fomented the war of the elites against the populace. Their weapons, the quote-unquote recommendations and mandates that caused unprecedented socio-economic pain and disruption. Final sentence. Please know of our sincere love and great concern for all of God's children. In 2021, this writer thought that perhaps this was the only true statement of the First Presidency letter. Perhaps the First Presidency really did love us. Since then, however, their actions have proven that this is also a lie. They prefer their power and prestige and their status among the nations far more than concern they have for the well-being of God's children. If they truly had concern for God's children, they would not have promoted policies that increased pharmaceutical murder. They continued promoting lies, even as evidence continued to amount that there were other, much more effective and safe ways to treat this problem. They continued their mantra that only the vaccine was the answer. They made the vaccine a requirement for both young and old to serve missions outside their home country. They preferred to pursue their quid pro quo agenda with the rulers of the earth, see the next chapter, even if it meant some who believed their lives had to be injured or killed in the process. Perhaps the First Presidency has other concerns they deem are of greater concern than God's children, in which case they could potentially still have great love and concern for them, however misguided their actions in expressing this love may be. It is the opinion of this writer, however, that the lying paradigm that permeated this letter was maintained through this last sentence as well. This sentence served as a disarming blow and misdirection of motive. It made the letter appear that it was written with the sole concern of God's children in mind, when actually, as we will see in the next chapter, currying favor with the world's elite was their advertised motive to this very elite. A general authority, while speaking to church leaders, commented that many who resisted taking the vaccine believe they are correct because our amen did not say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is a ridiculous attempt to create a straw man for the reason some church members chose not to follow our amen on this instruction, as if all the lies manifested above were of no consequence. However, what this argument does demonstrate is that leaders of the church expected church members to take this recommendation as coming from the Lord himself. They argue our amen did not need to say, "Thus saith the Lord," for people to respect this instruction as coming from the Lord. Indeed, when a prophet is acting as God's mouthpiece, this is a correct sentiment. But a man serving in the position of president of the church also has times when he can be acting as a man. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that a prophet is a prophet only when he is acting as such. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 13 through 16 states, quote, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither did they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head. And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Also quoted in 2 Nephi 19:13 through 16. President Nelson currently matches the description of a prophet that teaches lies. Some may protest on behalf of his ignorance, but he wasn't lying. He thought all he said was true. Indeed, as difficult as it may seem that someone so well versed in medicine could be blind to these lies, perhaps he really believed them. In that case, he was teaching someone else's lie. In either case, he was a prophet teaching a well-formulated set of lies. In summary, the August 2021 statement is sufficient to establish that the First Presidency was promoting a solution to the pandemic based on lies. These lies were particularly effective in deceiving those who trusted in the arm of flesh and in man's wisdom, and those that quote-unquote follow the prophet without seeking a personal witness of the truth. A personal note. As the days of summer of 2021 wore on, and the harmful effects of the vaccine combined with the lies surrounding it became more apparent. This writer took hope that by General Conference, the church's stance on COVID-19 measures would relax with regard to the vaccine. I thought it was surely a short time before the error of the vaccine, along with the faults of the recommendations to take it, were made plain. Surely, I thought, requirements and recommendations to take it for missionaries and various temple workers would be rescinded. To my shock and amazement, on the 12th of August, 2021, not only was the retracement not forthcoming, the First Presidency doubled down, making claims the vaccine was safe and effective. Shock could not leave my mind until I analyzed the First Presidency letter sentence by sentence, as we have just done. Then I understood what was shocking to me about it. I discovered every single sentence was a lie. Until sorting this out for myself and analyzing each sentence one at a time, I did not realize how blatant the lies were. Appendix 2 is what I wrote in early September 2021 as I sorted this out. This early assessment within days of the First Presidency letter acts as another summary and witness of evidence that was already known at the time of the letter.